hardly your picture any longer.
Yes!
Good morning. It is so good to be with you today. My name is Andrea Smith, and I'm the pastor here at West. And whether you're worshiping with us here or online this morning, we extend a very special and warm welcome to you. If you are newer to West, it doesn't necessarily mean it's your first time, but if you're newer to West, we have a VIP tent out front, and we would love for you to stop and let us know that you have chosen to worship here this morning. We are so grateful. At West, we believe in having fun, so hopefully you've done that up until now. We are finished our message series, Energy Vampires, and how to beat the life suckers, the things that suck the life out of us. I put on social media several months ago, what are some of the biggest energy drainers that we face in life? And worry was one. And another one, one of the most popular answers was Debbie Downers or Negative Nancys or Buzzkill Barbies. Basically, negative people, negative energy. Now, I have to let you know, I have taken issue with the fact that they're all women. You know, I don't understand that. And men can be negative. So I just want to be an equal opportunity person this morning. But think about it. Debbie Downer, Negative Nancy, and Buzzkill Barbie. That's one of the new age names. You know, Negative Nancy and Debbie Downer are old. But, you know, they all focus on women. So this morning, we're going to look at the fact that there are negative people in our lives. What do we do with them? And not only that, but I want us to look introspectively for just a few minutes and ask ourselves, where are we negative and what can we do to overcome it? Believe it or not, our human brains are not conditioned to always be happy. You know, we do experience negativity, sadness, anger, negative emotions in our lives. And, you know, sometimes we do have a tendency to become negative. So I want us to do a little self-check this morning as we look at this. Now, back in the 90s, Saturday Night Live, which you already saw a video from with the Whiners this morning, they came up with this brilliant idea called Debbie Downer. And so she had skits and parodies each week, and it was just such a huge hit. And perhaps it's because comedy imitates life. It's something that we can identify with. So this morning, as we start looking at Debbie Downers and how do we combat them and where are we a Debbie Downer in our own lives, I want you to take a look at this sketch from Saturday Night Live.
And you know, most of all, I'm just thankful for being home for the holidays.
You know, I'm just thankful that I met Michelle this year and now I get to spend Thanksgiving with your family. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know you guys. Yeah.
Oh, I'm thankful that someone in this family has a date. I was going to bring a guy I met on Match.com, but after we exchanged photos, I never heard from him again.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way, then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer.
Hey, can you pass some of that turkey? Oh, it looks juicy.
I'm sorry, I thought it was all mine.
Boy, the traffic was a disaster coming up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing compared to the disaster the Chinese are going through. What? They're still digging out from typhoon season, just in time for the bird flu to take even more lives. Who wants some more wine?
I'd love some.
Okay.
Hey, do you guys think the pilgrims brought a bottle of Pinot Grigio to the first Thanksgiving?
I'll tell you what the pilgrims did bring. Smallpox. It killed scores of Native Americans, ravaging their population. And that was before we got around to shattering their spirit.
I'd like to propose a toast.
All right.
Here okay. We go. I'd like to welcome Mark. We're very happy that you're here. Also, I'd like us all to remember Grandma. I'm sure mm-hmm. she's looking down on us and smiling. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hope it's the version of her before she was in the grips of dementia. Otherwise, she'd just be confused.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure your grandma was a great lady and really loved, you know, most of you.
Hey, could you pass the stuffing?
Sure. Debbie, stuffing?
Hey, Frank, did you cook this in the bird?
Yeah, soaks up all the juices.
Also soaks up an array of harmful bacteria, creating a breeding ground for foodborne illnesses.
Hey, can I say something? I just want to say that I've never been happier than I am right now, and I never want this feeling to end, so...
Oh, my God, Mark! Oh.
Michelle, will you marry me?
Oh, my God, of course, yes!
Yeah! Michelle, let us see the ring.
Oh, it's beautiful. Mark, this must have cost you a fortune.
Hey, just like they say, too much salary.
Did you factor in the loss of life at the hands of the African diamond industry?
You know what, Debbie? I've known you for less than a day, but I've kind of had it with you. I mean, I never said a word when we were watching the parade and you told me everything I could ever wish to know about Al-Qaeda, or when the Garfield float came by and you made that speech about feline AIDS.
It's the number one killer of domestic cats.
Meow, meow.
And that's very, very sad, but I don't want to talk about it during my marriage proposal.
Come on, Mark, we're going to go eat in the TV room.
Excuse me.
Guess who's got eczema? Well, I guess it's just you and me, Mr. Turkey.
You know who's excited about Christmas? The credit card company.
So, you know, I mean, that's pretty over the top, but truth be told, we've all encountered Debbie Downers in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, it was the Sunday before we left for Africa, for Nebbi, Uganda. And, you know, I don't write a manuscript. I write an outline, and then I know the biblical points that I want to make. And so sometimes, or all the time, actually, my stories end up being spontaneous. So I was talking about worry, I believe, and I found myself using Africa as an example. And the more I talked, the more I realized, oh my gosh, I'm whining in the middle of the message. And I was even attributing it to the people on the team and what they think about prior to going to Africa. I was whining about the lack of hot water, the lack of water pressure, the lack of electricity, the abundance of mosquitoes. And as I was going through all that, like as I was preaching, I thought, oh my gosh, you make it sound like the most worst thing ever. You need to shut up. And so, you know, it's hard to shut up in the middle of preaching. And so I realized I needed to like spin it differently. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing the church in Rome, he knew the human condition. He knew the state of the human mind. And, you know, they had just experienced this great renewal of religion and spirituality with the times of Jesus. And Jesus had given them this clear view of God and what God could do and can do in their lives. And then Paul realized, you know, look, hey, if we do not keep transforming our minds, if we don't keep changing who we are, then we are going to fall prey to that negativity. So I want to show you this verse that he wrote in his letter to the church in Rome. It's taken from Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed to this world and discern what is the will of God. The will of God, the whole path that we are created to follow in the way of God is good and it is acceptable. It is perfect. Now that doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter negativity in our lives, but what it does mean that is that when we encounter hurdles and when we face life's crap and the difficult circumstances, that we do not need to let them own us. Instead, we control them and we get to control our attitude towards them. So just exactly a year ago, a team of about 12 went to Nebbi, Uganda. And what I realized this week or this past week while we were there is something drastically changed from a year ago for me personally till this time. So like a year ago when we were there, I was just in this funk and I felt miserable. I ended up with a high fever when we were there. I couldn't eat, and which was great for weight loss, but not great for feeling good. And, you know, I found that every morning when I would wake up, I'd be like, okay, one more day down. You know, only 6 more to go, 5 more to go. And then as the last couple of days got there, then I would start counting the hours. Okay, only 10 hours until I can go back to sleep and let time pass. And so, frankly, I think that's probably what I remembered a little getting ready to go into this trip, which is what prompted apparently my whining in the middle of a sermon a couple of weeks ago. And then, so we get there this time and you know, things are going well, but there's always hiccups. You know, doors don't lock or doors do lock and lock you out of them. And, you know, the same situations around electricity and mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff. But when it came time on Wednesday, which was our last day there in Acres of Hope with Pastor Jeffrey and the people, when I woke up Wednesday morning, I realized, oh my gosh, it's our last day. Like on Thursday, we get up really early and we start the bus ride back to Kampala. And I woke up and I'm like, oh, I can't believe it's time to go home. What's different? And I realized that, you know, nothing had changed. In fact, physically, this trip was probably a little more challenging because we ended up changing hotels because things, although they might be like 5 miles away from each other, they take hours to get there just because of travel and dirt roads and paths and that kind of stuff. So we moved around and changed hotels a couple of times back and forth. But the week, oh my gosh, was like transformational. And so on the last day, when I walked out and ran into Michelle Campbell, she said, how are you? And then I just started to cry. I'm like, I'm sad. And she goes, why are you sad? I'm like, I don't know. I guess because we're leaving. And then I thought, this is not like you. What has happened? Because last year, I mean, literally, I counted down the days and I counted down the hours, and it didn't mean that I don't, you know, love and miss my family and my friends and you and the dogs. But what I did realize was my whole attitude changed. You know, we all encounter Debbie Downers and negative Nancys in our lives, and we must, because that was your answer, and that's one of the biggest life suckers that we run into. So what do we do about it? Well, the first thing is I want us to understand that it is a matter of attitude. And, you know, sometimes people just find themselves in places that they cannot find anything good. So I wanted to show you what being a Debbie Downer is. This is taken from the 13 Habits Mentally Strong People Do, the book. Take a look at these things that Debbie Downers do and what it means. If you are a Debbie Downer, being a Debbie Downer is a waste of time. It leads to more negative emotions. So if you're feeling negative about something and you start to focus on it, it becomes this cycle. It can become self-fulfilling. It prevents us from dealing with other emotions. It causes us to overlook the good in life. And if we aren't careful, it interferes with relationships. And I believe that's probably why you put that in the social media post when I said, what are the energy vampires in our lives? Because frankly, nobody wants to be around a Debbie Downer. And so, you know, I don't have any like psychological advice. We have some brilliant psychologists and psychiatrists that are a part of West, and they could do a whole talk on it. But the only thing that I believe is that we can, you know, from my psychological experience, is we can coach and try to point out that maybe life is not as negative as it seems. I want you to take a look at this quote by Abraham Lincoln. He said, "A man," and I believe a woman, "a man is, or woman is about as happy as he or she makes up his or her mind to be." So the problem is when we face Debbie Downers in our lives, you know, unless they want to be better, they probably are not going to be. Negative Nancy, Debbie Downer, if they are not aware of it, first of all, which truthfully they probably aren't. I mean, I told you 2 weeks ago, I'm standing up here and I realized mid-sentence, oh my gosh, I could not be whining more. I'm on my nerves, so I must be on yours. I mean, you know, when we are feeling negative, we're not doing that self-check. So now what I want us to do for just a few minutes is to look at our own lives and think about where we fall on that spectrum of positivity and negativity. Like Lincoln said, we're only as happy as we make up our minds to be. And it's how we look at situations that determines that happiness and that joy. And it boils down to this. So like when we are facing something, do we ask, do you find yourselves asking, why did this happen to me? You know, if we ask that, then we are being prone to negativity. Why did this have to happen to me? Or do we ask ourselves and think about this? You know, I am so lucky because. Why am I so lucky? I am so lucky because. You know, that's two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. Why did this happen to me? Or I am so lucky. Why am I so lucky? I'm so lucky because of this. That alone, those two statements and the way that we approach them, whether we approach them with the first one or the second one, determines whether or not we are a Debbie Downer. So when we are facing Debbie Downers in our lives, perhaps if we can help them move away from the why is this happening to me to look and be gracious and thankful for the things that we do have, then there's the shot at changing that negative mentality. Rob Fuquay, the pastor of Williamson's Chapel, which is where West was born out of, I'll never forget, he told this story one time. He was at Long's Chapel, which is up near Lake Junaluska, which is like the Methodist capital. It's where lots of pastors retire. It is the Methodist capital. I know that's a weird way of looking at it, but you know, it's where all these Methodist preachers retire once they have served their time. And so Rob was basically a pastor to a lot of pastors. And so there was this one time that there was one of the pastors in the church and such a faithful saint of Long's Chapel and led lots of ministry, was one of the great teachers within the church. And his wife, right after he retired, his wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Rob said it was just sad. It was so devastating. The doctors did not give her very long to live. And he said, I'll never forget going to see them that day. He said, you know, I talked and we prayed together and, you know, I cried and he cried and the wife, you know, never did. She had this amazing positive outlook about her the whole time that I was there. He said, after we prayed the final prayer and I went outside to my car, he said, I was shaken up and her husband came outside with me and, you know, I was telling them how sorry I was. And the husband said to me, you know, look, as sad as I am and as tragic as this is, there's something that my wife has taught me in the past couple of days. He said, when she first got diagnosed, we were together and I started, you know, with my anger towards God. You know, this is the prime time of our lives. We should be able to live and be happy right now and not have this facing us. Life is being cut too short. And she said, you know, instead of asking, why me? I've been thinking, why not me? I'm no different. I'm no more special than anybody else. And stuff like cancer happens. And at some point, we all move from, you know, this physical life here to life everlasting. So the pastor told Rob, he said, instead of going around saying, why me? I'm trying to go around and say, why not me? And be thankful for what I have. Sometimes when we are Debbie Downer and we find ourselves in a negative place, you know, it's just too scary to move out of it. You know, sorrow is a good companion sometimes. And when we become afraid of circumstances being different, then that does perpetuate that negative cycle. But like Paul wrote that church in Corinth, you know, we can be about renewing our minds and how we look back at the person of Jesus. So, you know, being a preacher, I think I sort of take Jesus for granted sometimes. You know, it's just sort of, you know, a part of who I am and what I do. So the last day that we were there, I really was like this emotional basket case. Every time I would turn around, I would cry. And I was like, what in the world is wrong with me? But I had just been so touched and so moved to see, you know, that what 5 or 6 years ago was just a plot of land with some grass. Because of your, as a church, generosity and Williamson's Chapel's generosity. Pastor Jeffrey said that West and Williamson's Chapel are the two leading churches that have supported this ministry. And so you guys, a huge, huge thank you to you. And you really are making a difference on the other side of the world. It is just beyond words can explain. So I think that's why I was all emotional and grateful for you too. But as the day was coming to a close, Scott and Andrew and Lane and I sponsor Daffin. And that's one of the ways that you can make a difference with Acres of Hope. You sponsor a child. And so $50 every month goes to feed them and support them and pay their school fees and do medical testing. And if they end up with HIV, which is so prevalent there, it gives them the necessary meds to combat that tragic disease. And so I was spending some time with Daffin. And it may be the last time I ever see her. She's topping her class, so we were excited about that. And once they get to P7, that's like here, our high school, in that they get ready. When they go to high school, which is what is next, they move away. They go to one of the high schools in one of the bigger cities. And so, you know, I think that had me a little sad too. So we were sitting there and it was this awkward silence. And I'm thinking, you know, Eugene did not weep in front of her. That's not really uplifting as you get ready to go. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, what do you want to talk about? And she said, well, let's talk about scripture. What's your favorite Bible verse? And I thought, wow, I don't sit around and ponder that normally. So I started telling her some of my favorite Bible verses, that God will raise us up on eagle's wings. And when we get tired, we can not grow weary and we won't grow faint because God is always there. And then she told me hers and she said, you know, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we kept going back and forth and talking about our favorite Bible verses. And then, you know, there's that awkward silence again. And she said, well, let's sing. And I realized as soon as we started Jesus Loves Me, that was it. I got out three words, Jesus Loves Me. And then I started to cry. I'm like, we can't sing. We can't sing. Music brings out emotion in me. So that's a done deal. And she said, well, let's tell me a story. And so I wrote in my blog the last day, the only story that I could think about was what I used to tell Andrew and Lane when they were little, Sammy Sausage and Patty Pancakes. And I'm like, I realize that makes no sense to you. And therefore, if it doesn't make any sense to you right now, it would not make any sense to Daffin in Africa. Patty Pancakes, I don't know if she's ever had a pancake. And that was just what I told the kids when they were little. And we would use them for moral teaching stories. And so I said, you know, Daffin, I don't know any stories to tell you. And then, she goes, just tell me about Jesus. Oh, you want to talk about something leveling? Oh my. And so then I'm like, well, what do I tell her about Jesus? And so I just started telling her stories of things that I remembered that he did with the people that he loved. I imagine that's what Paul was doing when he was writing this church in Rome. He was like, don't forget this love and this transformation that comes in following Jesus. Don't forget that he loved the unlovable. I told Daphne about the woman at the well that everybody else did not like. And in fact, they would not go to the well when she was there. She would avoid them because they hated her so much because she was like the town tramp. And they looked down on her because she had had so many different men in her life and sexual partners. And so I told her how Jesus loved her so much, no matter what everybody else thought, Jesus loved her. And then I told her about the man who was sitting outside the temple gates in Jerusalem, and he had been lame and not able to walk for so long, and everybody was so used to just seeing him sit there that they would just keep walking by him until Jesus came. And he saw him, like he really saw him. And he said, hey, you know, get up and walk. Take your mat and walk. You're whole. You're healed. The more I talked to Daphne that day, sitting on that step, and you got it, the more I remembered how amazing Jesus is. So somehow, when we face Debbie Downers in our lives, we just need to show them Jesus. That's easier said than done. Because lots of times when people are immersed in negativity, they don't want to hear religious, you know, panaceas is how they look at them. So that's when I believe we just have to show them. And the way that we combat Debbie Downers in our lives is we love them. It doesn't mean we let them abuse us, but it does mean that we always offer them grace. One of the days that we were there, we traveled to this place called Goli. It's a very undeveloped area, and Amy LeCount, the missions pastor at Williamson's Chapel, and Michelle Campbell went over back in February and did some entrepreneurial training with those ladies in this village. And when I say village, I mean it very literally. All that was there, literally, were some mud huts. That's it. There's no temporary structure there. You know, there's no like kitchen or anything. It was just some mud huts. And Tamberlin Blinsink, who is a doctor from West, took lots of examples and seeds and plants and took them and gave them information on how they could use their natural things that they were exposed to bring healing to their bodies. And they hung on every word. So as we sat there and listened to Tamberlin teach, it was transformational. And then at the end, Michelle Campbell started asking them how they had been applying their lessons that they had learned from the entrepreneurial training. What were they doing? And they had started making these, you know, needlepoint things of scenes from Africa, and they take those to the village and sell to the market and sell them. And so Pastor Jeffrey and the people at Acres of Hope have this amazing balance between capitalism and socialism. Like they contribute to the good of the cause, but they also get to keep some profit for themselves, and it helps them rise above the poverty. It gives them money to buy food in the market to eat, etc. So as Michelle asked them, you know, to tell us how this entrepreneurial training had made a difference in their lives, this one lady stood up and she said, before the training, I thought I had nothing. I thought, I'm just a person in poverty and I have nothing. But then when you all came, you used the Bible to show us that God gives us skills for business. And that the Bible is more than just teaching us about what's going to happen to us when we die, but the Bible gives us practical advice and examples for our lives. And then the statement that just hooked us all, as she stood there, she said, I am capital. I realized that I'm not just a person of poverty. I realized I am capital. Well, today, that's what I hope we all realize. It's real easy here in America to take it all for granted. You know, we look at business and our jobs as just something else to do so we can earn some money, so we can have some more stuff. And we find ourselves in these negative situations, and that negativity becomes easy to stay in because we don't know how to break out of it, and breaking out of it feels uncertain. If we've lost a loved one, you know, or is it okay to not be sad someday? It's you know, is it okay that we miss them, but we can see hope and a future? Yeah, it's okay. Because guess what? Each of us, you and I and people all over the world, we have been created in the image of God, and God is love, and Christ is powerful and transformational, and we are called to see ourselves as capital. We are called to know that we are loved and we are people of love, and that God will use us and break us out of the negativity that we find ourselves in if we will just let God do that. So wherever you are today in your own lives, if you're struggling with negativity and being a Debbie Downer, or if you know someone that you need to offer love to, just give it to God. That's not a religious panacea. We have a Savior and a Messiah that we can fall in love with every day. Let's ask God to reveal that Savior to us today. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a powerful God, and you show us who it is that we can be if we will just let our defenses down, let our guard down, and let you work in us and move in us. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their passion for you. And God, reveal to us how it is that we can be who it is that you created us to be, and how we can be our best capital that you have created us to be. In Christ's name, amen. So thank you for being a part of our Energy Vampire series. Next week, we start a series called Stranger Things. We're going to look at miracles and what they are, and answer some questions about them. Do they happen in our worlds now? I feel like I'm living in different worlds today. I appreciate the worship team wearing vampire capes and the greeters and everybody doing that. I told them since the next series is about Stranger Things and miracles, for the next month, they could wear angel wings, and they didn't really take kindly to that. So anyway, but Winston Churchill said, attitude is a little thing that can make a big difference. May we all explore our attitudes today and realize that we are capital and we are children of God. Let us break that negativity chain and let us go be people of God. Thanks for being here. Go in peace.